This is Phil Ferrand, and I am not driving home today. I'm over, actually, at my kids' house, and their kids are just having all kinds of fun running around half-clothed and dropping dominoes. Asher, at this point, has a ritual established where...
He doesn't have to put his shirt on.
He needs to put his shirt on eventually. We're just going to finish. We're going to slowly. Every time he comes over to do the thing again, we'll just put one more arm.
He has a ritual he's working through at the moment where he has a whole pile of dominoes and his sister is inside a cardboard box that has a hole cut in it, a little slot cut in it, and he's taking the dominoes one by one, going over to a closet door, running them up and down on the closet door, energizing them, I'm sure, or magnetizing them or something in his mind, so that they are ready for delivery. And then he's walking back, and he's putting them in. Oh, see, now we messed up his pattern. No, here we go. Rubbing on the door, coming over, sticking it in the slot. Mission accomplished.
He's fixing to run out of dominoes, so that's the only thing.
He is. Put it on the door, coming over, sticking it in the slot. this is a game that he has come up with all by himself.
I hope you're enjoying this podcast. I'm sure you're visualizing in your mind right now.
So,
all right, let's get the pants on, Asher.
No, but I have to admit, I said a couple of weeks ago that this has kind of snuck up on me. This podcast is that I was going along happy as a clam, and I was about at 309, 310, and I thought, wait a minute, I'm coming up on year six here. Which then evoked the thought in me, maybe it's time to quit. If you can't even keep track of it anymore, if it's all just a big blur, maybe it's just time to wrap it up. So then I thought, well, okay, so there's a topic for discussion. What's the point of this podcast anyway?
So what is the point of this
podcast? I don't know. Well, I originally started it 6 years ago thinking that this would be a way that I could acquaint my voluminous followers with me as a person. So,
well, was it almost like a marketing thing?
That
like
was theoretically,
with your
yes,
books?
Right.
So do you know how many downloads you're getting a week?
I
don't say the number. I'm just asking, are you personally aware?
I'm not personally tracking it. Every once in a while, I go out to FeedBurner, and I see that I have two or three subscribers.
Okay,
so,
well, you don't need to say those numbers. You just need to...
Yeah, that's a recorder, Asher.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch. Yeah, that's mine. That's exactly right. How are you today?
So anyway, but you do kind of every now and then check in and kind of see where you're at.
Every once in a while, you know, people will write to me because they'll... You know, you didn't remember Dan Pence. You remember Dan Pence?
I remember Dan Pence.
You remember Dan Pence?
Yeah.
We got daughter,
right?
We got in touch with them just through different circumstances. He's actually working in New York, living in Pennsylvania. So he has a commute every day. Last time I talked to him, it was like a 2-hour commute. He was leaving the house at like, I don't know, 6 in the morning, getting home like it. But he's got a really good job with one of the financial firms there in IT. And so, you know, it pays the bills. And
it's probably a lot cheaper to live in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, and he's doing some ministry stuff in Pennsylvania, too. So I think he's on staff at a church. And so he was listening to the podcast here and there. And so sending me comments about the only reason, honestly, the only reason at this point that I can think to keep doing this is that it's kind of like a diary.
Mm-hmm. Well, you kind of recap and say,
I kind of recap what's happening with the week and what's happening with the writing and, you know.
After you've passed away, we'll have these to remember.
Yes. I mean, the only salvation here at all that I even see is potential is that eventually they'll have artificial intelligence and it will just be able to listen and convert it into text so that people can scan it, the text.
Oh, I was thinking that they were going to be able to download this into a consciousness.
I don't think you'd want to do that. What?
So you're just saying convert it to text, though.
Convert it to text so that, you know, if
it's searchable.
It's searchable, yeah.
Oh, I don't think that's far off at all.
Yeah, no, it's not. And so, you know, all these ramblings might mean something in the future. Because, as we all know, we will all eventually come around to my way of thinking. So that's the plan.
Or when Asher is running for president or Claire is running for president, this will come out. And
yes, and destroy any chance they have of ever. This is who that crazy person's grandfather was. So, although we did make some progress on the everyone is coming around to my way of thinking this past week. Darren has a book that he's reading called This Is Not Your Brain, or You Are Not Your Brain. And I looked at the subtitle when he showed it to me. I looked at him and I said, or as I would say, you are not your flesh. Because it's actually, he said, that's what I was saying. He said, because I'm reading this, and he said, I'm thinking, Phil's been saying this for years. Because it's all about, you know, how that there's all these disparaging voices in your head. He read me like a little introduction piece of it. I may have to read the book or get his notes on the book or something and do a podcast on it, because he was reading me the intro about how people live under this condemnation, all these disparaging voices they have, and what they forget is there is this kind guide within them that if they just learn to listen to that guide, that will help them. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly right. So, yeah, so... That's Clara. So say hello, Clara.
Hello.
See, now, and, you know, 10 years from now, we got it. Asher. Asher.
10 years from now, when you passed away, we'll have
it. Yes. No, no, I cannot pass away.
I know.
I got to finish this book series. I've got to live to 72.
At least, right?
Yeah, at this point. That's Asher. Yeah. Your Ginky's in there. Now what are you going to do?
You didn't give me a pink Ginky, Mommy.
Oh, no. Disaster.
Yeah, is that But anyways. So, yes, year in review. It's been a big year around the Farron Beauchamp household. I think when last we talked...
Mommy.
What,
puppy?
Hi.
When last we talked,
I was just waiting if Asher was going to make a request.
Mommy.
Here.
Yes?
Of course he's going to make a request. Yes.
Do you want in?
Do you want to go into your own?
Nope.
You want to go what? In there with Sissy?
Yes.
We'll just squeeze through that little hole.
That's right. Drink your little potion to make you smaller.
He's trying.
He's trying. There you go. Liz and Alan have a couple of big boxes. They
replaced our water heaters.
Oh, replace your water heater.
This week.
That's a water heater box?
It is. They're smaller now. I don't know the kind
of. Is that
you
the
got.
Super efficient one? Is that the box for
super
the super efficient?
Yeah. They're not super efficient.
Reasonably efficient?
This is the new.
So they're smaller and squattier.
Money. Yes.
Still a 50-gallon tank. Whoa!
Yes, still 50.
Huh. Very interesting. Anyway, so yes, year in review. I think when we were talking last time, I...
Do we want to start over?
No, there is no starting over. This is life. Life as it happens.
Just so you know, in 10 years, we did this. Boom.
No.
Uh-oh. Crisis. All right. What happened? That's what happens.
I have to do that.
Because he's so young, he doesn't know what he's doing, love. Do you forgive him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Asher, it's probably too small for two people to be in with all their stuff. Do you want your own?
No. Nope. Well, then you probably need to stay out so that Claire can play in there, because she was playing in there for a long time, okay?
Yeah.
So why don't you come sit with me? It's okay.
Da, 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 da.
It was an accident. It's okay. Hey, okay. Stay with me. No. Sissy's going to play.
Wait, you're decapitating.
Want to start over?
No, there is no starting over. You're decapitating. There it is.
Well, I'm pretty
okay.
sure we're at 20 minutes. So it was a good podcast, and I am home.
No, we still have at least another 10 minutes to go.
And I'm sure people are still listening.
This is for posterity.
I won't be listening in 10 years at this point. I'll be done.
Yeah.
Skip what? To the end.
That's right. Podcast. You can never really have too many of those.
Too many of those, really.
Which was from a game we all played how many years ago?
Oh man.
Radiators.
Probably
yeah,
five
was,
at least, maybe a decade.
It was Agatha Christie's
I don't remember.
Indians. I think it was the one where they're on the island and they keep
getting off. Oh yeah.
Speaking of a decade, this is our 10-year anniversary.
This is your 10-year?
Yep,
you know, you can go on Fiverr.com and get caricatures done now.
Oh.
Good ones?
I don't know. They're $5.
So not good ones.
No, but then most of them have upgrades. Like, you can get a crappy one for $5. Or you can get a better one for $15. But no, there are. There's. You can go on Fiverr. There are artists
on there.
I wonder
if they're digital and you print them yourselves or if they mail them to you.
Well, some of them are hand-drawn, but I'm sure then they digitize them and just mail them to you, and you can print them out.
Print them out on, like...
Yeah, so you guys could, you know, check that out. Yeah.
We could.
Get that done.
Well,
10 years.
Well, but then there's still a gap. Unless we can find a picture from every single year.
Yeah,
right around.
Well...
Or we just say, we make a frame and it says... The young child years.
Yeah, the young
child. And everyone
the
understands.
Dark years.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the young child years. That's right. That's right. Didn't have much else we were thinking about during those early years.
No.
Our brains were just downshifted. So.
Yep. 10 years, though.
Yeah. Well, just wait, buddy. As the years go on, You may not, but being a missionary kid, as the years go on, I talked about this on the podcast last week. Did you hear the choir story yet? I don't think I told you. I don't think I've seen you. They're so busy now. We're going to get to that in a minute. Choir story. Okay, so I go up into a training session for one of my groups up in AGWM so that I can kind of learn how they train and that kind of stuff. A guy walks in. I look at him, and I say, I know you.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me and he said, yeah, you're really familiar to me too. That was months ago. So the guy then writes me this last week. I think this is last week. He writes me. And he said, do you ever live in Omaha? I said, oh, I don't think so. Omaha. I don't think so. And so he writes back and he said, well, then, you either lived in Omaha or you have a twin. And he sends me this picture of this youth choir in Omaha. He sends me this picture. And I look at this picture. And I get out of my chair and I walk up to Mom upstairs. And I put this picture down in front of her. And I say, recognize anybody in this picture? And she looks at it and she goes, well, I recognize you. She said, what's this from? And I said, I'm not sure that's me. She said, what? I said, I'm not sure that's me. Oh, stop it. Facebook is trying to get me to sign up for Messenger. And I won't do it on my phone. I just don't need that much invasiveness.
I've done it.
Have
yeah?
You?
Has it completely taken over your phone?
No.
So
in
anyway,
the background, probably it has.
Yeah, I'm sure it has. So here's the picture. See if you can find me.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's like this. Now here's the thing. Oh, yeah.
I just went back.
Go backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm standing there in a suit that matches the suit of everybody else in this choir. This is a youth choir in 1978 in Omaha, Nebraska.
Although, did you look like that in 1978?
Yeah. I would have been 19 at the time.
19, okay. I thought I'd seen a picture of you in that age range, but maybe you were in your early teens, the picture that I saw at Grandma and Grandpa's house.
Maybe.
So, but this didn't actually happen.
He said Omaha, and I said, well, I said I was in Nebraska one of those summers. Because, you know, as a missionary kid, you're just like a leaf in the wind.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just everywhere. And I said, I was in Nebraska, but I thought it was Lincoln. I was working in a retirement center. My sister-in-law, Deb Farron, her dad was running retirement centers at the time. I didn't have anything to do for the summer because Mom and Dad were 7,000 miles away in the Philippines. And so she said, well, Dad said he needs, you know, workers. So I went up. I stayed with them. I worked in the retirement center. And I washed the windows on a 6-story retirement complex. That was my job. I went to every apartment on every floor. They had those old storm windows that slid up and down.
So you weren't outside the building?
Well, there was another building that was, and they would pull me in for other little jobs like setting up tables and that. That's where I learned how to set up tables and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I painted a room once. They never asked me to do that. Because they were saying, have you painted before? Yeah, sure. So they gave me a brush and they gave me a roller, and I was like, I guess I'm supposed to use the brush.
Oh,
so,
no.
So anyways, I contacted Deb. She said, no, that was Omaha if it was 1978. So apparently it was Omaha. Apparently, I have a vague memory, of buying a suit. But that's it. I do not remember seeing it on that car. I have no recollection of it whatsoever. So apparently, it didn't make that big of an impression on me. This is kind of sad. Anyway, so that's what happened.
There were no girls cute enough in the choir for you.
There was one gal.
As you're looking at the picture, you're like, there's one gal.
She was not in the picture, but I think she went to the church. That we had kind of kicked around together, and she was really sweet. But she was older. I do remember sitting in the car they had loaned me, having a conversation with
older.
Her.
Older at the time probably meant she was a year or two older? Or
yes,
she...
I think she was in her 20s.
And you were?
I'm 19.
So, early 20s?
Early.
Older is relative.
Maybe mid-20s. I can't remember. Anyways, and we were having real nice conversations, and the only thing I really remember about the conversations is that... apparently, as I was sitting in the car, I had my foot on the brake, and occasionally I was pushing the brake. And when she found out that she was sitting in the car with me with the brake lights coming on and off, she was not real thrilled. She said, you've been pushing the brake. I remember that conversation. But that's about it. There was nothing romantic or anything. We were just friends. You know, I was driving her. I don't think she was driving me. That would be the only reason I was in the driver's seat. So that's all I remember from that summer. Well, that's not true. I remember Singamalili Sholina, which is Omaha. Singamalili Sholina, which is Omaha Indian language for even the squirrel slips.
So did you tell him that? Do you remember that song? Ask him if he remembers it.
I asked him, I said, so do you remember singing next to me in the choir?
Oh, he's next to you in the picture.
Yeah, he's next to me in the choir. Sorry, I missed that spot. Yeah, he is directly to my right in the choir. And he was a couple of years younger than me in that choir. And he said, I remember that there was a guy that was there. And he said, I thought it was Phil from CBC, which that would have been me. And he talked to a couple of the other ladies who were in the picture. And they said, oh, yeah, we remember Phil. He was just there for a short time. You know, so apparently I went there. We were going to Southside Assembly there in Omaha. Apparently they needed singers in the youth choir. I like to sing, so I hopped in for the summer. And apparently I bought a suit so that when they were doing it, I would match them. Or somebody bought a suit, or they loaned me a suit or something. But, yeah, so that's why it's good to have a podcast at least get you caught up.
And you were saying something about the older I get.
The older I get, the less I remember about that stuff.
Oh, okay.
So maybe, you know, I have this terrible tendency of dumping off stuff that I don't think is
it's
relevant.
Important.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to know.
So like us.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But I'm.
But again.
Yeah. So, anyways. But anyway. So year in review. Can you snap? So year in review.
So 10-year anniversary.
10-year anniversary.
Well, that's not really a
review. But
that's a big event this year.
This year.
Of course, Clara turned 4,
yeah.
And Asher turned 1.
And Asher turned 1, and Asher's getting ready to
turn 2 in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Actually, a week and a half.
Yeah, well, that's amazing.
Like 2 weeks from today, or yesterday.
Two weeks.
Yeah, and I was 2 months into the Windfall series when last we had an anniversary.
Finished the second book, yeah.
Working on the, yeah, well, that's cool. Working on the third book.
This is why he doesn't invite me in on a regular
basis. No, it's fine. And the big development in the family is that my son-in-law is now the senior pastor at Praise Assembly.
Though we may be changing that to lead pastor.
Oh, lead. You don't
Tim Strathy mentioned that we probably should think about or consider moving to lead pastor.
Yes.
I don't really have a big preference on
that. Yeah, it's like lead commander. You know, on the Dominion.
Well, senior pastor, I don't really know what senior pastor means. The most senior as in rank.
Yeah. It's lead pastor. It should be lead pastor.
Anyway,
or executive pastor.
We hadn't thought about that.
Executive
pastor is
and
different,
preaching
though.
Pastor.
Oh, yes, preaching
there,
pastor.
There are preaching pastors now, and
that's
there are
right.
administrative
it's so
pastors.
So specialized now. And they're coming up to their first big thing with the Easter production.
Man, I sure hope it's not too big. I don't know that it's going to be a big thing.
It's a big thing. It's big. Are you going to have the camel?
No.
Oh, no camel. All right.
No.
So that's going on big.
Going through the hiring process for the first time.
Yeah,
Interesting.
Working on trying to find a youth minister.
Mm-hmm.
Working on trying to find a music minister. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, lots and lots.
Well, we haven't started the music minister search really yet.
Okay.
So, just lots and lots of things going on. But, you know, life goes forward. And I've been telling people it's just going to take several years before I get to the place where I can't grin every time I say Alan's the lead pastor of Praise Assembly. Or that my daughter is the lead pastor's wife. At Praise Assembly. I mean, that's amazing. That side. So, I did have kind of an interesting little thing that I watched on a TED Talk. And then we'll be done.
Asher?
No, he's fine.
You can
You want to do that
one?
I was listening to a TED Talk about a guy who was trying to add... I want that one. Not this one. That one. That what he is experimenting with is creating new sensors for humans. Since humans see such a limited light spectrum, since they process things in a very specific way.
Geordie LaForge's visor.
Yeah, Geordie LaForge's visor typey thingy. So because it's inspired by Star Trek.
Are you trying to get out, love?
I think so. Timber! Hello!
Don't mind us.
Yeah, no.
It's just the sound of a box falling over.
It's that, but we heard it because we were here.
Anyways.
So sensors.
Humans.
Right, because he was doing the standard thing where he was complaining about the fact that we can only see a limited spectrum of light, blah, 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 blah. But he was also talking about there are other animals in the world that have completely different ranges of things. Like the tick, you know, is blind and deaf, but it can sense temperature. And he said butric acid. And he was talking about the black ghost knife fish, that their sensors, they can see electrical fields, or the echolocating bat that is very good with sound. And he introduced me to a new world, the umwelt. The umwelt is your entire world of sensory input. So the things that you can sense, the things that you can communicate with, that's your umwelt. And we tend to think that our umwelt is the totality of experience, when of course it's not. And so to illustrate that, he was talking about dogs. He said, try to see it from the dog's perspective. which he said they've got 200 million scent sensors in their nose, and it's a very moist environment, so it traps odors. And he said, you got to think the dog is thinking up at their owner, wondering what a pitiful existence humans must have from a sensory input. He said, you know, what's it like to take a feeble noseful of air like your tiny little noses? And how can you not know that there's a cat 100 yards away? Or that your neighbor stood in this very spot 6 hours ago? You know? And so he's talking about all that. But then he got to talking about the human brain, and this is where it got interesting for me. His classification of the human brain is, he said, it's the PH method of evolution, in his terms. And that's the potato head method. Then he said, your brain is really like Mr. Potato Head. He said, your brain is capable of taking sensory input from virtually anything. It doesn't care where it comes from. It doesn't know really what it is. All it is electrochemical sensations, and it just goes through the process and figures out how that relates to the real world. So they're doing stuff where you can dress a person in a vest that has like buzzers on the back or vibrators or electrical shocks, and they can tie that into the audio coming from a tablet. And they've been doing experiments in their lab where they say different words, and deaf people over time, they don't try to consciously do it, but deaf people over time actually learn the words that are being said simply because the vibration on the back, on their backs. And so it's really interesting that, to me, that the design we have in our brain, and they would, of course, say evolution, and I would say design, but that's okay, is really set up specifically to take inputs from all kinds of different sensors. It is a perfectly designed generic processing machine, which is kind of cool. You know, so, I mean, he is imagining the day when we'll just be able to plug in whatever sensors we want to, and you just learn. So he said, you know, for instance, you could plug in sensors that would give you a feeling of what your blood sugar level is like at the moment, or a feeling of what your biological colonies are doing inside your gut, you know, or a feeling, if there were astronauts on the space station, you would just plug in sensors and they would have a feeling for how everything is functioning on the space station, you know. Or you could be tied into all your parishioners, you know, from your cell phone so you could get a general feeling of how the church is operating at any time. What the
could take averages for
you. Yeah, take averages for you and figure out what the whole
notify you of outliers. Yes,
that's outliers on the outside, so you can contact them and say, hey, I notice you're feeling a little anxious today. Is there anything you'd like to talk about? Yeah, so interesting new worlds coming up. And who can say where we will be in the next year if I keep doing this? I think Asher's, he's fine. I think he's ready for us to be done. Mom has been sitting still for too long. This is Phil Farron, and we have made it home.